4,101. That's the number of murders that took place in 2016 and 2017 in Gauteng alone. So earlier on today, the police minister, Fikile Mbalula, presented the 2016-2017 crime stats report. This was in Parliament today. And as you've heard in EWN, there is an overall decline in crime, but there are certain categories that are on the increase. When we look at provincially, when it comes to the murder rate, Gauteng is sitting in top spot, and then KwaZulu-Natal, Eastern Cape, then the Western Cape, followed by Mpumalanga, and then the Free State. And some of the other categories that are of concern, of course, that we always look at, one particular one that is one of South Africa's most pressing problems, of course, is sexual offences. It was reported that it decreased by 4.3%. And I think considering the discrepancy between reported figures and the true extent of the problem in South Africa, which is unknown, rape statistics often suffer from accuracy problems. And maybe we should put it differently. Maybe we should say rape reporting has dropped by 4.3%. Not that there was a decline in the incidents itself by 4.3%, but that reporting has declined. Some of the other commentators observing all of this have being very critical of the police, saying that it's time to admit that the police are struggling to manage the question of crime in South Africa. Fikile Mbalula did try to strike the right note, being very threatening to criminals in this country, and saying "Nilibambe lingashoni," saying "I'm coming for you, I'm coming to get you, and enough is enough." When it comes to crime, he certainly has a particular language that he uses when it comes to communicating his passion for fighting crime in South Africa. Things like hashtags #wanyatsotsi, and so on. So these crime stats don't reflect his tenure. Of course, it was prior to his taking over this particular portfolio. But what do you think the police need to do in order for you to gain respect in the police? So we'll take your calls reflecting on these crime stats on 011-883-0702. He expressed the sentiment that he, like many citizens in this country, do not feel that it's a decline in crime. Like many people, I think perhaps trying to express the fact that they are on board, they understand, they feel our pain as citizens. But when you look at the track record over the past 2-3 years or so, we had Police Commissioner Ria Piega, who was since suspended. There was an inquiry into her conduct regarding Marikana, and her contract or her tenure subsequently came to an end. And then we got Roberto Phahlane, who was acting, and now Lesetša Motsepe, who was unable to attend, seemingly because a nephew nephews had also suffered at the hands of crime in this country. So here we are with this rotating chairs of police commissioners. And if there's a crisis at the top, surely we can expect for there to be a problem at the bottom. So what do you think the police need to do when it comes to solve for us to have respect in them? Firstly, I think a video that comes to mind is the recent altercation with the number of Nigerian foreign nationals in South Africa not too long ago. And how do you feel? Do you feel that you are assured about the police? Do you have a sense of respect and regard for what it is that they're able to do in solving crimes and in keeping you safe? What do they need to do to ensure that they have your respect, your cooperation? Because a big question that's come up today is that we need better cooperation with communities. They need to build better relationships with communities if they're going to win this battle. But if there's no respect, if there is a lack of respect and regard for the men and women in blue, then we are far from winning this battle. In order for us to cooperate, there has to be respect. There has to be a sense of reassurance that the police are there and will be able to discharge their duties. So I'll take your calls on this. The crime stats are just shocking, absolutely shocking, that we're still battling to win when it comes to certain categories of crime. There's a word that that best describes just a feeling that comes upon you when you look at the crime stats, nar. You just feel nar. Eh? If you've never heard it, maybe there's someone out there who can better help to explain this word and how it captures a particular emotion. You're just left nar when you see the crime stats that the police were reflecting on in Parliament today. Does it come down to policing and how we regard the police? 011-883-0702, 31702 for your SMSs.
Zania Musaka, lines are always open
on 011-883-0702.
It's 14 minutes past one. We're taking your calls this afternoon. Let's start with you, Karen. You're in Randburg. How do you feel? Do you respect the police?
Zania, I don't think that I disrespect them, but I think that I distrust them. And simply because a simple thing like an accident, a car accident, and you have to report it at the police, or going to have a document certified at the police, there's such a sense of lethargy that you just feel, how can I trust this person with something more important, something like crime? So that, for me, is a major issue. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's the other side, and that's other friends who are attorneys in criminal law.
Yeah.
And they will tell me emphatically, they can't get their job done through the legal and court system because they've got to pay bribes everywhere. So they've got to go and pay bribes to police. And so when you hear things like that, and of course, I mean, all the different stories that surface from time to time of police that are involved in criminal activity, you just feel, you know, I don't trust the system.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a beagle watching my property. I feel safer calling my security company if I'm in trouble before I call the police.
Mm.
I really don't. I think the stories abound of police men and women that are just not above board.
Right. And it's interesting, as you say, there are more of those stories. And a couple of weeks ago, I commented about an event that I'd attended, which was all about the Johannesburg cluster, the central Johannesburg cluster, which under that cluster, there are about 8 police stations. And these were awards for excellence, you know. And I walked away thinking, I'm touched. I want the police or the public to have this sense of the gathering, this kind of positive sense of the men and women that I met that day. But the opposite is true, that we're just inundated with the negative stories of how police will solicit a bribe from you or give you poor service and how things are just left unresolved. So they do need to do a whole lot more in that regard.
Yeah, I personally don't trust them.
Yeah.
If I had a friend or knew someone who had had a crisis in their lives, and it's a woman, I would not let her go as a vulnerable woman who's experienced something traumatic, whether it's a sexual offense, whether it's a hijacking, whether it's whatever it may be. I would never let her attend or go to a police station on her own to report that.
Sure.
Because that's the level of distrust I have with them. I don't trust that they will treat her properly. I don't trust that they will treat her with the correct respect. I don't even trust that they will take down her story correctly, or that they would treat her with the necessary sensitivity that would be required in a situation like that. I think that they're wholly incompetent.
Thank you. That's Karen out in Randburg. It's not a lack of respect, but a distrust, she says. Solly, you're in Leondale. Hi.
Hi, Azania. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome, Solly.
Yes, man, the caller before me, she's spot on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are not all the same, but it is very hard to meet the honest one. They are almost all of them, they are crooks, including Balula. And I'll tell you why. When Manana was reported to have that woman, it was reported in the media that he phoned, as the police minister, he phoned Manana, and then to find out what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then why doesn't it happen to any other ordinary person unless committed? He phones them. So this one got a special attention from the whole minister.
Mm-hmm.
So he himself, you know, no matter how much noise he makes, he's a crook himself. That's right. What they can say.
Right. Even at leadership level. Mm-hmm. So do you think if they sort out leadership, the leadership of the, whether from minister to the commissioners and so on, that we might start to restore our level of respect?
Up until the police station level, the station commander, if they can be honest in terms of how they execute their duties, and then the policing situation in South Africa will improve. But as long as almost all of them are crooks like the minister, then nothing will happen. Some pastors gave up to report. You are correct when you say that the reported crimes. Actually, the stats has not gone down. The reported crimes. Thank you, Azania.
Thank you. That's Solly in Leondale. Not a great line. And SMS says, police coping with crime. Police don't cope with anything. And sadly, they're the last ones we turn to from previous experiences. An unsigned one on 31702. Nabo, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, and you?
I'm good. You know what I think? I think our policemen need to be well trained, and then for policemen, for the ones that are doing a well job, like for the ones that are bringing down drug laws and all these hard criminals, I think they should be rewarded. Maybe they are giving cars or something just to reward them for doing a job well done.
So they should be incentivized to do their job. Because there isn't when you think about it, really, when you say job well done, that's the police executing what they are tasked to do, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so you're saying we should incentivize them even more to do their job with gifts like cars?
Yes. I think they're underpaid. That's not a secret. They're underpaid. Hence, they're involved in drugs and everything.
It's no excuse, though, Nabo. It's no excuse, because I think if you are going to take on that job, you have to be committed to exercising your duty as responsibly as possible, because these statistics do not give comfort at all. Hijackings have increased to 14.5%. Serious crimes have decreased, on the other hand, by 1.8%. I mean, 1.8%, minuscule. Fanny, good afternoon.
Yes. I don't have faith in the police either as a white South African. Quite recently, they broke into my brother's car that me and my wife were borrowing. And we didn't report it because we don't have faith in them. Earlier this week, he was almost hijacked, and he didn't report it because we as white South Africans don't have faith in the police. We don't have respect for them. Because look at the videos that goes around of them assaulting people next to the road or whatever.
Why do you create that distinction, Fanny? Why are you saying, as a white South African, do the police not serve all South Africans? Do you think that the service is different depending on who you are and the color of your skin?
Well, that's what we've experienced.
But have you experienced crime as a black person? Or have you experienced the police's service as a black person?
No.
So why do you think that it's different?
As a white person.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you that.
What I'm saying,
I don't think it's necessary to draw a distinction. Service to South Africans are service to South Africans.
Yes, but look at how many white people are being assaulted by the police.
You don't think black people are assaulted by the police, Fanny?
That's not what I'm saying.
All right. Let's leave it there, Fanny, because I don't think it's necessary to draw that distinction. Ultimately, crime affects everybody in this country. Every single person could be a victim of crime. And then secondly, even how the police provide their service is something that it could be lacking with anybody on the other side of that counter, regardless of the color of your skin. Thomas in Boksburg. Hello.
Hello. You speak.
Hi, Thomas. Yes, Thomas.
Yes. Yes, I just want to make a contribution regarding the police. How a mechanism which can be employed so that the police can be able to deal effectively with the crime. I think the problem dated back since transition, whereby the issue of the police, it was not properly handled. They only concentrate on scope and donor. Neglecting remuneration, the ranking structures, how the police can and do their job effectively. If we check in the police force, they're not paying the police. The morale is low. You get in a police officer, he's been in the service more than 30 years. He's been a constable and in low salary. How can the government allow that to happen? Of which they're supposed to pay the police so they can create an extrinsic motivation. You check overseas. The police, what South Africa did, they only copied the uniform. Even their system, when coming to salaries, is a different ballgame. Some of the police, you end today, same day, the salary is depleted. That's why these police are vulnerable. this criminal activity. But what contribution the government is doing? Like now, if we check now the narrative on the public platform you hear, they're talking about Margaret. Now, what happened to all those police officers who are in position of force numbers? They are trained to deal with these things. Now, if the government can say every policeman must play a role in dealing with crime, I think we'll go somewhere.
All right, Thomas, thank you for your call. Also concurring a little bit with the earlier caller who said that they don't get paid enough, and that's perhaps why they end up getting involved in corruption. I've got the former CEO of Business Against Crime, Simi, who's also given us a call. We'll come back to your call straight after the break as we reflect on the crime stats that were announced earlier on today as the police minister made presentations before Parliament earlier on today. Well, earlier on, the Minister of Police, Fikile Mbalula, conceded before Parliament saying that we could do more, but we are not. So there is this understanding that the police are not fully coping with the crime levels in South Africa. Some of the tweets and messages coming in, Ditedu says, well, crime will only go down if there are jobs and support for SMMEs. Some crime due to poverty and lack of purpose in life, he says. And also we have to look at the question of why there isn't better cooperation between communities and the police. Does it come down to the lack of respect, the distrust, as Karen had labeled it earlier on? Former CEO of Business Against Crime, Simi Pele van Graan, joins us on the line. Simi, your thoughts on the crime stats?
Hi, Azania. Great to be on your show. Just to make it clear, I'm not speaking on behalf of BAC. This is in my private capacity.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, this has been an ongoing problem. It's not just about the issue of policing. The police need to have a complete turnaround strategy in place. And this starts with leadership. And I'm not talking about just leadership on the top. Most police officials don't have proper leadership training. And when you're working with people, you should be trained on certain levels of EQ. For instance, on how to manage and handle communities, how to be empathetic towards their problems. And I think that is lacking quite drastically at this point in time. Secondly, the police don't work in a silo.
Mm.
It's the entire criminal justice system that needs a turnaround strategy. And, you know, the police can make an arrest and all good and well, but there needs to be a successful prosecution and a fair investigation against the perpetrator.
Mm.
And then you're looking at correctional services. Correctional services need to make sure that they do have the facilities in place to actually change behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So current programs that are in place are not sufficient enough to actually change behavior when the person is released back into society.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite a vicious cycle at this point. And I think if people are going to be looking for a quick fix, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I think unless the police take this seriously enough to say we need a turnaround strategy.
Absolutely. And also,
it's not going to happen.
Demand better cooperation from other departments, as you say, that they don't operate in a silo, in isolation. Simi, thank you very much for your thoughts.
Thank you.
More SMSs and tweets coming up after the latest in EWN. Otto, you've been listening in, and let's hear your thoughts on these crime stats and what the police can begin to do.
Hi, Aza. I hope you are.
I'm good, thank you.
I look at this as a double-edged sword, because now you've got the police, half of them were doing their job properly, and the prosecution fails. Because how do you then get somebody who's been arrested multiple times, who's out on multiple bails, and then you still expect the very same police people to arrest them? Like, as a cop, I will just take the bribe and forget it ever happened, because I'm going to arrest him today. He's out next week. He's doing the very same thing. It's a vicious circle, like your previous caller said. It's a vicious circle. How do you then expect our police people to work at their optimum? You know what I mean?
Yeah, so there is a lot that is demoralizing to the police. You know, Khotso, I've just remembered just talking generally about demoralizing work conditions for the police. There was this one police officer, I think he tried to correct a citizen who, whether he had littered or something, the video started at a particular point. So the infringement wasn't clear. It wasn't clear what had happened prior to that. But this guy was also going for the police, you know, similar to what we saw in that recent video with the foreign nationals, with the Nigerians. And this guy was saying, "Tunye he, tunye," you know, daring the police like to do something. And I thought this is a clear demonstration as well about how these working conditions can really be demoralizing, even for someone who wants to provide or dispense an adequate service to the community. So where do we need to start? Does the community need to say, we're doing this in faith, we need to respect, cooperate, be there for our police with the expectation that they will be there back for us? And the Justice Department needs to do their part. There's just so many issues, as Simi had said, that can potentially be terribly demoralizing if that is what you wake up to every single day.
Exactly. And also, us as a community, we also play a huge role in all of this, because, number one, as much as the police are also demoralized, I mean, we've lost faith in them. And it's not entirely their fault, because of this whole vicious circle, because we don't report what the kid next door is doing. He's stealing cars. We don't report him, and then he gets caught, and then we all go to court and say, "Oh, shame." You know, like it's I think it's just a vicious circle that
Absolutely. We
as a community, I think it starts with us. I mean, if I can report the crime and give full information and not be biased on who's doing the crime, and then follow through with that. Don't just report it and let it go. Go to court. Go attend the trial. With the whole prosecution,
just insist.
Make sure that you see the whole crime through. You know what I mean? The whole prosecution thing through.
Absolutely. Khotso, thank you so much. And of course, there are other things like victimization of witnesses and so on. So it's a very layered and very complex web. Greg, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Jordania.
Yes, your thoughts on these crime stats and what the police can do better.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Greg.
I'm not going to go back into a background, but I'm quite sure if I get a time to do it, you'll understand where I come from.
Mm.
Okay, I grew up in Manenberg in Cape Town, but I've seen this pattern. You know, we need to break down the different barriers in support of crime, which also is in support of the policing, which affects policing. And number one, I'm telling you, crime's got political affiliations, number one.
Mm.
It's got that.
Mm.
And number two is crime got supporting financial affiliations. Number three is crime got community affiliations. And the same way like crime can be justified, can be regulated that way, the same you must look at police. Police also got, as well as racial affiliations. Policing also have that political affiliations. It also has the financial affiliations where corruption will fall under.
Mm.
It also has the community affiliations where, like, certain police people grew up in a certain area can't be doing effective policing in that area because of they know everybody, and most of the guys involved is their old buddies. So it makes it a bit of a difficulty there.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same way, there are financial affiliations, because the finance now also play a part.
Mm-hmm.
And another button, and I can elaborate on this, but I haven't got a time for it today, and I don't think I have the time for this. But another thing that comes to the point here that is very important to notice here is that you don't get police people. It's the same like pastors and preachers today in church. The same thing. Not because they have a love for God, not because they have a love for policing and clearing crime, but because they need a job.
Mm.
So the job effort, the job need, takes preference over the duty that must be performed.
Mm.
And you'll find people today, they are as holy on a Sunday, but because there's a wages coming out, there's tithes. You find people that working in offices, they don't want to be there.
Mm.
But it was a job that they needed to survive in order to buy the car or the house that they wanted.
And we need to recognize that. Yeah, go ahead.
Now, so we need to come to a point to the table, and I'm prepared, because I tried at some point of a time, I won't mention another name, I was willing to do it to the police head office with all the officers there, where we made a suggestion, let us come work together and see how we can solve this thing. Because I'm telling you, a police force can be easily owned by drug lords out there, and without them knowing it.
Yeah.
There's a thing happening in the country right now.
Yeah, absolutely, Greg.
A person being shot.
Yeah, thank you very, very much for those points. I think they added another perspective to this conversation. That's Greg out in Pretoria. Lots of SMSs. Mutimani from Polokwane says, let us first find a way to depoliticize the SAPS because the rot up there cascades down to the ground. Another one says, no one is sure of what is or will happen next. In every move ANC take is spinning the wheel of expelling ministers. Okay, I'm not sure what that's in reference to. Another one says, I've never communicated with the station before, but I want to comment on this. Our police is top notch, but our leadership is rotten. How can a sports minister take over leadership of such a critical portfolio? Same with the finance ministry. Ultimately, the president sets the tone. And then another one says, most of the police, you will find them at gambling institutions, playing lotto, soccer every day. I don't respect them at all. If I want something done, I need to bribe them. And then on Twitter, Aisha Ranshod says that SAPS, sometimes you get the good and the few baddies. They lack stationery, language is a problem, and all of these and other issues are obstacles. And then she goes on to say that in Lanesia, 3 times a week, 6 a.m., we drop my sister at a local hospital and we see comical adults on kids' bikes get caught. So there are those pockets. I witnessed those pockets of excellence, or heard about these pockets of excellence that were being rewarded that night. And I have absolute sympathy for the police and the kind of duty that they're meant to carry out in society. There was a book, in fact, that called them that they do the dirty work of democracy. They have to get involved in such complicated situations. They're not skilled to handle some of these. So they do deserve our sympathy, but we need to also have greater expectations if we are going to solve this crime problem. But looking at these crime stats, oh, it's just enough to make you narr.